And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the Pope changing the Lord's Prayer. Is the Pope actually altering the Scripture? Is that what's going on? Well, a vast majority of your mainstream and independent media outlets have said exactly that. Spectator over in the UK says the Pope is wrong to change the Lord's Prayer. You have USA Today says Pope Francis approves changes to words of Lord's Prayer. The Guardian, led not into temptation, Pope approves change to Lord's Prayer. Fox News says Pope Francis made this big change to Lord's Prayer. These are all the headlines that are being featured. Pope Francis officially changes the Lord's Prayer after frustration, etc. That's with the Sun over in the UK. And then the Chicago Sun-Times says Pope Francis Lord's Prayer changes approved. All these different headlines talking about, and in fact, one of our listeners sent me the article originally, and I've been reviewing the issue and wanted to do a show on it. Now, you do have one dissenting voice. A Catholic website, the National Catholic Register, says in response to all of this, they said, no, Pope Francis is not changing the Lord's Prayer. That's what they said. But of course, this is from an article back in December of 2017. Okay? So back in 2017, this article is a couple of years old, and apparently this whole debate had come up back in 2017, Lord's Prayer, the Pope calls for a change. So this is an issue that's been going on for a number of years. BBC News reported this back in December of 2017, that the Pope was calling for a change. And the headline back then, 2 years ago, said, quote, Pope Francis has called for a translation of a phrase about temptation in the Lord's Prayer to be changed. So then the National Catholic Register said, no, that's not really what he called for. Well, 2 years later, it appears that that is what he called for, and that's what now has been done. In fact, the very conservative Catholic website, churchmilitant.com, has acknowledged. Their headline says, Pope changes text of Gloria, Lord's Prayer. Now, the first part, the Gloria part, is in the Catholic missals, but they're acknowledging in the rest of the article that, yes, the Pope is calling for a change to the Lord's Prayer. You have the Catholic Church in Scotland says, quote, despite Pope Francis, no plans to change wording of Our Father prayer. That's one of the headlines in CNSnews.com. So this, of course, apparently does not mean that every Catholic church will go along with it. According to this article, the Catholic Church in Scotland says they have no plans to change the Our Father. The change comes over the words, lead us not into temptation. Because the argument from the Pope here is that God apparently does not lead into temptation. And so the prayer is to be revised to do not let us fall or be abandoned into temptation. That is the change according to Church Militant. But lead us not into temptation, that has been the understanding in the English translation for centuries. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, etc. So now, apparently, the Pope Pope Francis is calling for this change. This is something that they have reviewed reportedly for years. They have been thinking about this longer. Let me read here from the article on Church Militant. It says, quote, reportedly, Vatican experts have been studying the Lord's Prayer for 16 years, recently concluding, quote, from a theological, pastoral, and stylistic viewpoint, the centuries-old wording, and lead us not into temptation, used in English translations of the Bible, is incorrect. Now, this is one of those issues that becomes very, very interesting when you look at this particular verse in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13 in the Lord's Prayer. And you can go online, you can look this up on BibleHub.com and just look at all of the different versions. Now, of course, we prefer the King James. The King James Bible says, and lead us not into temptation. But look at all of the other English translations. New International Version says, and lead us not into temptation. New Living Translation says, and don't let us yield to temptation. English Standard Version says, lead us not into temptation. Berean Study Bible, same thing. New American Standard, do not lead us into temptation. Basically the same thing. Christian Standard Bible, and do not bring us into temptation. You look at these, the vast majority of them say words to the effect of lead us not into temptation. When you get down to the Douay Rheims Bible, that's the Jesuit Bible. That's the Bible that the English Bible that the Jesuits put together centuries ago to counter the English translations of the scripture. This was all part of the Counter-Reformation. But how do they translate the verse? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's how the Jesuits translated it in the Douay Rheims Bible. So this becomes a very, very significant issue. I mean, it's virtually agreed upon by every major English translation, whoever puts it together, that that's what the reading is. And now we've got the Pope and the so-called experts in the Vatican telling us that that's the incorrect reading, and now the Pope needs to make a change. Very, very strange. But really, if you study the papacy, it's not so strange. And this is what we talk about in our History of the Bible series. It's why understanding the Vatican view of the Bible, that the Bible does not confirm the Catholic Church, or the Roman Catholic Church, rather, confirms the Bible. That's what they believe. They believe that the Bible, the scriptures, should be in submission to the Church of Rome. And that's what this is about. What we're going to review on the show today, because this is a very important issue, I've talked about in my History of the Bible translations the story from a few years ago with the Jesuit general. The new Jesuit general has openly said, we don't know what Jesus really said. Then you compare that with Dr. Daniel B. Wallace, Dan Wallace, in his article, 15 Myths About Bible Translations. You go down to myth number 14 if you look up that article, and Dr. Dan Wallace out of Dallas Theological says that scholars do not know the exact words of Jesus. This is the trend. The trend for modern textual criticism, whether it's Catholic or Protestant, evangelical, in your elitist academia, the trend is to believe that we don't know the exact words of Jesus, so we kind of need to figure them out on our own. And maybe he said this, maybe he said that. Nobody really knows, because, I mean, if you read the comments of Dan Wallace, you're given the impression that the New Testament writings right from the beginning were little more than a paraphrase, where he says it, they were written just to give readers the gist of what someone said, not the exact wording. And see, this issues like this is where these things become very, very important. Very important. Now what we're going to do is we're going to review some comments from a 19th century work called The Mystery of Iniquity Unveiled in its Damnable Heresies, Lying Wonders, and Strong Delusion. And this is a work from J.P. Callender. J.P. Callender from the year 1838. And really what it is the documentation of a series of declarations by the papacy throughout the centuries. And you can see that the Pope claims that he has the power to alter even the commandments of Christ. All right, so you can find this work online, you can read it for free. I'm reading from page 210, and here is this declaration from one of the papal decretals. It says, quote, God, not man, separateth that which the Pope dissolves. Therefore, what can you make of the Pope but that he is God? The Emperor Constantine at the Council of Nicaea called all prelates gods. Therefore, the Pope, being above all prelates, is above all gods. Wherefore, the Pope has power to change times, to abrogate laws, and to dispense with all things, even the precepts of Christ. To dispense with all things, even the precepts of Christ. And this list here, this has got over 50 different declarations from the popes throughout the centuries. And the declarations are just outlandish. I mean, you can't believe that anybody ever thought they had this kind of power. And yet these are papal declarations that have been made for centuries. And this one here is just one of many where it says the Pope, being above all prelates, is above all gods. You can see why the reformers for centuries have believed that the papacy is the fulfillment of that man of sin who exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. And under the new covenant, the temple of God is the church. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, as the apostle writes to the Corinthians. But also the scripture warns about Antichrist, he shall think to change times and laws. And here you have this declaration about the Pope having the power to change times, to abrogate laws, and to dispense with all things, even the precepts of Christ. Here's another declaration just afterwards. It says, quote, the Pope has authority and has often exercised it to dispense with the commands of Christ respecting war, marriage, divorce, revenge, swearing, usury, homicide, perjury, and uncleanness. And that apparently is from Pope Nicholas. Unbelievable. You can see why studying these declarations, and some of them are just as bad, if not worse. And we're going to talk about them when we come back after the break, right after this.
Graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the Pope changing the Lord's Prayer. The Pope changing the Lord's Prayer, as if he has the power to do so. And of course, they're using certain reasoning. They're quoting from James' epistle, where he says, let no man say that he's tempted of God, because God does not tempt people. But again, the Lord's Prayer says specifically, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you often have this kind of contrast in the scripture. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. On the other hand, he says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. And he says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. So we have to consider the contrast of the different verses, and what is the Lord trying to show us? It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to seek it out. So rather than arguing with the scripture, we should try to discern what God is truly, what he wants us to search out and to discover, and pray that the Lord would reveal it to us. But I want to read some of the comments here from the editor from this 19th century work, The Mystery of Iniquity Unveiled. And he goes over 56 different declarations from the popes. And for example, you have one here, number 55, says, quote, the Pope is free from all laws so that he cannot incur any sentence of irregularity, suspension, or excommunication, or penalty for any crime. The Pope giving himself absolute immunity from all prosecution or accountability. And of course, this is the kind of thing that the popes declared of themselves. Then you had the kings in old Europe. They declared the same thing. And this is what the reformers resisted and fought against. This is a lot of what we'll be talking about in our upcoming film on the true Christian history of America. How a sober examination of the scripture led to the overthrow of these kind of tyrannical declarations from the popes and the kings of old Europe. But here's what the editor of this work says. He says, quote, the above summary exhibits a mere outline of the impiety and despotism which are embodied in all the authorized papal documents and writers. He goes on and he says, quote, all those decretals, says Barkovich, were compiled to invest the spiritual power with absolute and arbitrary authority, a despotism more horrible than was ever witnessed in any Eastern monarchy. During the 11th century, those false decretals were published. Besides the independence of the priesthood of the temporal government, it was distinctly inculcated that the orders of the Roman court should be everywhere obeyed and by all classes of persons without delay or contradiction, that no civil law had any force or authority against the papal canons and decrees, that the tribunal of the church is superior to that of the sovereign, and that the laws of the state ought only to be obeyed when they are not contrary to those of the church. And it goes on to say that the above dogmas destroy every natural and social right and overturn the foundations of human society. Think about that. It is something that we've lost in our modern understanding of history. We've lost the understanding that things like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, etc., that the core principles of freedom were fought for by our Reformed Protestant ancestors over a period of centuries, but what they were doing is they were resisting the tyrannical encroachments of Rome and the papacy on the Christian populations of Western Europe. That's what was happening. They were being persecuted. They were being burned at the stake. They were being tortured, having their feet roasted over hot coals. All manner of horrible, abominable punishments were being inflicted on people for so-called heresy. And quite often, the heresy was not heresy at all. It was simply believing what the Bible says, believing the word of God, and rejecting the lies of the papacy and the Inquisition. And yet that's why people were being tortured. It's today we are seeing a soft version of it happen in our country and the Western world. When you see ministers that are being arrested because they're preaching against Islam or they're preaching against homosexuality or other false doctrines and things like that, we're witnessing a soft version of what went on during the Inquisition, because that's why people were arrested. They were arrested because they were standing up for the truth of the Word of God. And yet that's what had been outlawed by Rome. And of course, I believe this is why the connection between Rome, her Jesuits, and modern Marxism is so important, because it's Marxism is really the Inquisition repackaged. All right, but let me read a couple of more of these decretals that have been made. Okay, this one is probably, this is from Boniface VIII. Pope Boniface VIII, this is a very, very famous declaration from Unum Sanctum. Pope Boniface VIII said this, quote, thus the Pope hath all power in earth, purgatory, hell, and heaven to bind, loose, command, permit, elect, confirm, depose, dispense, do, and undo. Therefore, it is concluded, commanded, declared, and pronounced to stand upon necessity of salvation for every human creature to be subject to the Pontiff of Rome. End quote. Unbelievable. What an unbelievable. It's why, you know, when we're reading about the beast in Revelation that is full of the names of blasphemy, you have so many blasphemous declarations from the papacy, exalting the Pope, giving the Pope all sorts of power that is nothing more than a man-made arrogance and attempt at usurping the authority of Christ and God. But here you have the Pope declaring the necessity of salvation itself is contingent upon whether or not you are in submission to the Pope. And this is one of a number of examples where the popes made being in submission to themselves a component of salvation. And that is completely now another gospel. There's no question. And of course, we could give many examples of how Romanism is preaching another gospel all the way around in a variety of ways, but it's why people believed the papacy is the Antichrist, is the man of sin. And you've got all the way into the 20th century, a quote from Pope John the 23rd, the same pope who ushered in Vatican Council II, the Ecumenical Council, had said at one point, and this is one of the quotes here, this is from a Catholic website, and Pope John the 23rd said, quote, "Into this fold of Jesus Christ, no man may enter unless he be led by the sovereign pontiff, and only if they be united to him can men be saved. For the Roman pontiff is the vicar of Christ and his personal representative on earth." So there you have the popes in centuries past and up into modern times, brethren, making these outlandish declarations about their claims of power and authority and this kind of thing. There's no question. Even if you don't agree with the reformers, which I do, but if you don't agree with them and you don't necessarily think the Pope is the Antichrist or the man of sin, you should be able to recognize that the papacy itself is Antichrist. It attempts to usurp the authority of Christ and lead men into destruction and delusion. So, we've got to continue to expose these things and point people toward the only true light through the Holy Scriptures, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.